So here we are in the human predicament. We are spirit immersed in matter. We are we are spirit within the bodily form. So do you feel that I know that your focus is on the angelic side, and this surely is a positive spiritual influence. But do you feel that people are drawn, that there's something in the human experience that leads people to be drawn to the dark side and to evil and wicked choices?
Yes, and I love the question. People are drawn more so to the dark side, to what people call demons or Satan or the devil, and I'm afraid that part does exist. So it is in the sense they listen to the negative, to the demon more so than they would to the angel or to their guardian angel or even to God. And I know in your book, I can't remember the name.
Well, the book's called War God.
Yeah, but the name of the...
Okay, so there are two, I mean, there are many characters in the book, but the two characters who I portray as effectively being in communication with demons, or with a single demon, actually, are Hernan Cortez, who was the conquistador who conquered Mexico, and his opposite number, Moctezuma, who was the emperor of the Aztecs. And in what I write about them, it is based on historical information about these gentlemen, because Moctezuma believed himself to be, his experience was of being in effectively daily contact with an entity who he regarded as the war god of the Aztecs. That entity was called Huitzilopochtli. And Moctezuma gained access to that entity's space by using hallucinogenic mushrooms. He used visionary mushrooms. And in a trance state, he would then encounter this entity who constantly gave him the most terrible advice and led him to carry out acts of horrific wickedness and human sacrifice. And then on the other side, Cortez, the Spanish conquistador, has visionary encounters, usually in dreams, with an entity he construes as being Saint Peter. But I don't believe it was Saint Peter. I think it was the same demon that was misleading Moctezuma.
You're right. So, he was being duped.
He was being led astray.
He was being led astray for all that evil to happen.
Yes.
And yet in the end, peace came out of it in little portions.
Yes.
In that way, and that happens all the time. You know, sometimes I would even see someone that, you know, what would one would say, a demon was around them or they were possessed.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know. They show themselves to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be shocked.
The possessing entity shows itself to you.
To me. And sometimes they look very, what would I say it, very beautiful.
Right.
You know, but I have to smile because, again, you know, when that would happen, the angels would surround them and the guardian angel would be with the person there as well. But then the entity would change.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't describe that because it's not very nice.
So they go, they have this beautiful facade, and underneath that is a true appearance.
Is the true appearance.
Yeah.
And we think that in conquering other people and having control and power, and that's what Satan offers, that's what the demons offer to us.
Right.
And our human side loves to have control over other human beings.
Right.
And that is something we need to really fight.
So in a sense, this is the temptation that the demonic side offers. Is material wealth
and power. And even today in the world, you see it.
Yes.
You know, you see the horrible things that are happening in some countries. And again, there in some cases, it's not just unemployment or injustice.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, you know, they're using God. They're, instead of saying, well, it's demons that are on our side, they're saying it's God that's on our side.
Yes.
So I can inflict this horror on top of you. and that is where they are being duped,
yes,
as such.
So it's a
it
sort
is
of
a battle.
It's a trickery that's being pulled over
yeah.
people's eyes, because it's true. I mean, you're absolutely right. If we look at the situation in the world today, a lot of terrible things are being done supposedly in the name of God, whether we call that God, you know, Jehovah
or
Allah or simply God.
Yeah.
People in their they believe that they're serving that God, and but they, yet they're doing terrible things.
They're being duped. That's the word I use.
Right.
They think they are, but they actually aren't. They're actually serving the, you know, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that badness, that
yes.
horror that is there.
Yes.
And all as I can say to everybody that he's actually having a great time with us.
Yeah, playing this game with us.
Yes.
Because that's his project, is to lead us into misery and darkness and mistakes
exactly.
and confusion.
And he's laughing at us. But there is war going on.
Yeah.
A spiritual war.
A spiritual
well.
War. This is a very important
yeah.
point. Yeah.
That spiritual war between God and Satan,
yes.
the demons,
mm-hmm.
between that side, between the angels,
mm-hmm.
and in another way, between us,
mm-hmm.
because we're the trophies.
Right, we're the trophies in that war.
We're the trophies. Your mm-hmm. soul is that trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Your soul is that, you know, Satan, the demons can, you know, take power of you completely
mm.
in the human way
mm.
so that I can win the trophy of your soul, that
mm.
you won't turn back.
Right, right.
You
right.
know, and spiritually people are starting to awaken.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want that,
mm-hmm.
but it's still a horrific battle.
A horrific battle. I mean, here's yeah. is an interesting yeah. situation, because, of course, science, very hard-headed
yeah.
mainstream materialist
yeah.
science, denies completely the existence
that's
of a spiritual realm,
yeah.
although I
yeah.
never understood how they can possibly know that, but that's what they claim. And therefore, people who are persuaded by... I'm not putting down science,
yeah.
because science
yeah.
does many good things. But
it
people
does
are,
wonderful things.
It does wonderful things.
Yeah.
But people who are persuaded by that view that there is no spiritual realm may therefore be very unprepared for what is really going on. If there is a spiritual battle going on, and if what's at stake in the choices we make are our souls, then we should know about this.
Yes, and we need to know. And I know science is very, very important, because so many good things come from science. And I love scientists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love them. You know, wanting to know what this little speck is.
Yes.
You know, in that way, because we're learning so much as well. But you know, they need to start themselves to see beyond, and in a sense, to know that nothing is impossible.
Right.
And the other thing I would say is, a scientist is not a scientist if he denies something.
Yes.
A scientist cannot deny anything.
Right. Right.
Cannot deny that possibility,
yes.
because that's what science is.
Yes. And in a
yeah.
sense, I mean, if science claims yeah. to be in the business of exploring reality, part of reality is the spiritual realm, and by denying that from the outset, refusing to look at it, refusing even to consider that it might exist, they're perhaps not fully doing their job as scientists.
No, and it is in the sense, you know, one group of scientists will prove one thing and another group will prove the opposite.
Yes.
And it will go on. They'll never be able to prove whether God exists or not
yeah.
until a certain time comes.
Yeah.
But that depends on all of us.
Right.
It depends on this battle.
Okay.
You know, and I won't give up.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't give up on you. You're doing a huge job yourself.
Thank you.
You're writing the fictional books, but you're writing them with research as well.
Yeah.
And you're giving a lot of truth there. You're helping to waken people up. And that's what God and the angels are asking you. You're being guided as well,
yes.
even though you find it tough and hard going.
Mm-hmm.
It's the
I
same with
do.
Myself.
Yes.
It
yeah.
is, you
yeah.
know, when you're on the side of good,
yes.
it's a million times harder.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's one thing a lot of people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
They think, well, if God and the angels are in your life, you know, everything should flow smoothly.
Mm.
You just have to look at my life and see it hasn't.
You
know,
in that
way. So it's very important for you to continue your work. And I know
yes.
you work on the pyramids, and I have never been there.
Yes, and they are an amazing mm. sacred site and a place of and a place of pilgrimage, and there's a deep and ancient wisdom there about the human condition, from a time when people understood that the choices we make are of the greatest importance. It's not simply, I think every minute of every day, every one of us is confronted by a choice between good and evil. It can be very small or it can be very large, but we're constantly making those choices. And I have a sense that what rests upon those choices is perhaps not only our souls, but the future of the created universe itself.
Yeah, it is. And you're being guided the right way. It is, because I have been shown so many futures, you know. And
now that's interesting. So many futures. So there are different possibilities. It's not set.
It's not set. Mm-hmm. Nothing is set.
Right.
You know, even what, you know, I've never said this before. I'll probably get into trouble. But even what has been written in Revelations in the Bible.
Right.
Because everyone has forgotten. God can change his mind.
Right.
We've forgotten that.
Right.
You know, so it is not set. It's only set if we stay on the side of the dark side.
Right.
But there is loads of good there.
Yes.
And as you said, you know, every second everyone has a choice, you know, to do something good or bad, no matter how small it is. And one thing I say to people is, you know, your guardian angel will never say to you to be mean or selfish.
Right.
Or to steal. Even those simple little things are actually very important.
Extremely important.
You know, it's to become conscious of, to allow your soul to come forward and to do the right things. Because some of those futures that I have seen for the future that are good, it's like there's quite a lot of them.
Yes.
Quite an enormous amount.
Where things could go wonderfully in the future.
Wonderful. But they all go together and it becomes one.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
not just one. It's a load.
Okay.
All come together and become one.
Right.
And you think, I know some people have said to me, but wouldn't we be bored then, you know, if so many things changed? But you change spiritually. There's another fascinating, what would you say, world around us that you are not seeing.
Right.
That intrigues us, and universe.
Yeah.
You know, in that way. And it is very important.
So are you seeing a potential process of spiritual evolution in the human race that would allow us to be fulfilled in a universe of pure goodness?
Yes, you imagine, you know, think of children nowadays, they're all into gadgets and all.
Yes.
But what of the children of the future, that those gadgets are actually quite boring?
You're right.
They know everything.
Yes.
In that way.
Right.
Where they have suddenly discovered that they want to know more, and they see different, they think different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everything about them is different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like even a blade of grass.
Mm.
You only see a blade of grass.
Right.
But they see more than the blade of grass.
Right.
You know, it's like even when they look at the stars or look at the air.
Yeah.
There is so much more to learn and so many more adventures.
Yes.
Like people say, well, there wouldn't be enough of adventures, excitement. But it's way beyond.
Right.
It's way, way beyond. It's beyond our comprehension. And it's like when a scientist asks one question, there's a million questions to that question and another million answers to that. And it goes on
Which
and on.
Which lead on endlessly and infinitely into realms of exploration. So it's as though we're only seeing a tiny fraction of reality, or that notion of seeing through a glass darkly, not seeing the whole picture.
We're not seeing and I haven't even been shown the whole picture, because what I have been shown, I can't even, at times, you know, I find incredible, and I say to myself, why can't you see what I see?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I believe you could.
Yeah.
I believe I could show you. Lots of people look at things, but you're not seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't allowed that ability to grow inside of you.
Right.
You know, to grow in your brain and all
why do
of
you
that.
Think why do you think we haven't allowed that ability to grow?
I think it is because spiritually we haven't allowed ourselves to become so conscious of our soul.
Right.
And to know that the human part of us and our soul. We're not intertwined yet, but yet your soul fills every part of you.
Right.
And maybe for me is that somehow God kept me separated in one sense, and my teachers, instead of them being the school teacher or being you, they are God's angels.
They're angels, yeah.
They have taught me to look at things, but to see.
Mm-hmm,
you would
mm-hmm.
find it incredible what I could see.
I mean, tell me, do you...
Physically now.
Physically.
That's the difference, physically.
So you're seeing angelic beings, angels, physically, all the time?
All of the time.
Even now?
Even now, but you go beyond that.
But I want to know about that. Let's start there.
I don't know if I can, because I know they're filming this.
Yes.
You know, so I'm asking, and they're saying no, not for this now.
They don't want to be spoken of.
It's not that the angels don't want.
Right.
But it is that, you know, of other things that I see physically.
Okay.
That you haven't even thought of.
Right.
That are around you,
okay.
around us all here.
Right.
You know,
but you can't speak of that.
No,
okay.
no. But the angels are here, and they are extremely beautiful. And your guardian angel,
I have a guardian angel?
Yes, and you have been guided all your life. You have a beautiful guardian angel right there behind you. And all as I can say is your guardian angel.
That's a wonderful message for me.
Your guardian angel seems to, in a sense, go through the roof, but the roof is not really there for your guardian angel.
Right.
Lots of us think that the physical things are there, you know, what we build interferes with the angels, but they don't.
Because they're operating at another level of existence. They're not in the material plane.
They are actually here with us physically as well.
Yeah.
Because at times the angel Michael has taken my hand, at times angels have embraced me.
Right.
And I have felt the physical as well as seeing the physical.
Right.
As I see you.
Right.
You know,
right.
if I touch your hand,
yes.
we feel.
Yes.
In that
with
in
our
that
senses,
way.
Yes.
You know,
and you have that experience with angels.
All of the time.
Yes. Let me ask you. You said that you do also see the demonic side. You are aware of it. Is that not terrifying and awful for you to be confronted by that?
Yeah, it is.
How do you deal with that?
How do I deal with it? I actually don't know, in one sense, how I deal with it. I know God will protect me.
Right.
I know His angels will protect me to a certain amount.
Right.
And, you know, from the first time that God introduced me to Satan, you have to remember God is real. It doesn't matter what you call God,
right.
God is real.
Right.
And I'm afraid the other side, as I usually say, the other side, Satan, the devil, whatever.
The dark side is real. Yeah.
You know, as real as you are sitting there.
Yes. Yeah.
I was terrified. Mm-hmm. I knew from the time I was a small child that it was coming closer to me.
Right.
How would I say it? And even as I grew, but God didn't really tell me what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 100 miles away or 1,000,000 miles
mm-hmm.
away.
Mm-hmm.
And the time that it did come, God stood there
mm-hmm.
and Satan stood there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just reached out this way.
Right.
So I suppose I have my hand out like this
mm-hmm.
all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And God is touching my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And for somehow, that helps me to cope.
Yes.
And that, you know, he can take my life, he can do what he likes with my body, but he can't have my soul.
No.
That's out of bounds. And the thing is, the dark side knows it's out of bounds with me.
Right.
It cannot have it whatsoever.
Right. So there's no point
in
trying.
Exactly.
Yes.
You're wasting your time. But that doesn't mean they don't try.
Yes. Yeah. And they are trying with other people all the time.
All of the time. And I have to say they are succeeding.
Yes.
But yet you have to always remember the guardian angels are there.
Yes.
And there are loads of other angels there.
Yeah.
And in the end, I know, no matter what,
yes.
good will win.
Good will win
in the end, ultimately.
That's yes. also my feeling. I feel that yeah. very strongly. I mean, when I wrote War God, I'm writing about a time of darkness. Terrible things happen, both on the Aztec side and on the Spanish side. But what I've tried to bring out in the story, and what impressed itself upon me very strongly, was the beautiful courage and decency and goodness of individual humans in that awful situation, challenged in such a way that there were people who made choices for good, even though it cost them dear.
It cost them their lives, probably their families' lives, and that happens today. That's happening today.
It's happening right now.
Moment.
It's an ongoing human dilemma.
And people don't hear of those people.
Yeah.
But it is happening all of the time. And I always say, thanks for good, thanks for the light, thanks for God and his angels being here among us to help to give us the strength, even though a lot of us don't listen, but an awful lot of us do. And that's why good will win in the end.
Now, your last book was called A Message of Hope from the Angels. And how would you summarize that message, that hope? What may we hope for?
We may hope for that we will grow spiritually, that we will strive towards all of those positive futures that will come together and become one. And one of the most wonderful things that I have noticed is that right across the world, in every walk of life, so many people are being made answerable. They can't hide the dark side, can't hide them.
Now,
there's still even so many of them in denial, but they're being pulled out all of the time. And that's why, again, I would ask the ordinary people, like myself, like yourself, you know, to play their part, to be those who do those right things, those extraordinary things, become those heroes that have no name. But you don't need to have a name.
You don't.
No.
Ultimately, for your soul, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
Your name in this world is not important.
It's not important.
What matters is the choices you made through life.
Yeah.
What about when we make mistakes? Is there time in life to correct them? Is the spiritual realm merciful in that sense?
Yes, it is very merciful. And that's why I always say to everybody, somebody would say to me, but how could... you know, that murderer or that horrible person have a guardian angel.
Yes.
But they have, because they have a soul.
Right.
And one never knows that at the last moment of their death, because you have to remember when their human body dies and their guardian angel takes hold of their soul, they know instantly. You don't know that they're not going to say, I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, it's only one word they
but
have
to
say.
But for certain crimes, is sorry enough?
Yes.
And sorry, I'm meaning it.
Oh, sorry, I'm meaning it. But you, I believe so many would. And hell does exist.
Mm.
That place does exist. And it's something I always avoid writing about.
Yes. Yeah.
There's loads I could tell you on that as well, but we won't go there.
Well, I mean, for example, a man like Hernán Cortés, who conquered Mexico in part through terrorism.
Yeah.
Sometimes in order to send a message to the man he construed as his enemy, he would massacre an entire village. 5,000 people, men, women, children, he would kill them all. Does hell await somebody who made such choices repeatedly in life? Or is there mercy for him?
There is mercy. There is mercy. I'm so glad there is mercy.
Yes.
I really am, you know... That there is, and that is because of the love that God has for us.
Right.
That is incredible. I have felt it.
Yes.
Literally felt it. And it terrifies you. You could
mercy
ask
can
me
be terrifying.
You could ask me, who am I afraid of? God or the dark side or Satan, whatever you call it.
Yes.
It's God.
More afraid of God. Tell me why.
Because his love is so overwhelming, so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I can't describe it. That I'm constantly running and hiding.
Mm.
And he's constantly saying to me, why are you hiding from me? And yet I shouldn't be.
Is that running and hiding from the sheer overwhelming brightness of the light?
What is
it that
you're... beyond that.
Beyond that.
It's
I'm
beyond
looking, I'm
that.
Grasping
it's,
for
I know,
metaphors.
I'm trying to, in a sense, even explain it. Your soul trembles because your soul is that speck of light of God. It's part of God.
Mm-hmm,
so it trembles as soon as God comes near, or as soon as God touches you with, right, with that love.
Right, right.
It touches your soul and the human part of your body. Just, how can I say it? In one sense, falls asunder. It's, mm-hmm, it's doing all strange things. What's happening? It's, mm-hmm, it's so overpowering, so, mm-hmm, overwhelming, mm-hmm, and yet so wonderful.
Yes.
It's incredible.
So the sheer wondrousness
of it,
in a way,
yeah,
is scary.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
In Message of Hope from the Angels, you wrote about this human throwback, this encounter,
yeah,
that you had, where you saw something.
I saw something that actually terrified me.
Terrified you.
And then this young man walks in,
mm-hmm,
you know, early 30s, late, mm-hmm, 20s, early 30s, fine-looking young man.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel Michael said, "Now watch carefully." And I was watching him, and he just, you know, strided in. Eventually he got his ticket and he sat down, and there was only the two of us there.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat down in front of us, and I was horrified with what the angels had showed me, what,
mm-hmm,
Michael had showed me. And I suppose to cut it short is, it was like science,
mm-hmm,
technology, mankind,
mm-hmm,
taking the wrong road.
Right.
Well,
it was then a vision of a possible future for mankind.
Of this young man.
Of this young man, yeah.
Of his future,
mm-hmm,
of his family,
mm-hmm,
generations to come.
Right.
In that way.
Which, in some way, he's been engineered by technology?
Yeah,
was that the?
That is actually what had happened. It was like, as within the brain,
yes,
somehow technology and science were able to separate parts of the brain within,
right,
him.
Right.
And what I was shown was a speck of light, which was his mind, and it was like as if it was in a dark void,
yes,
pitch black.
Right.
But he had no mind except that speck,
right,
that had nothing in it.
And
it was, he was screaming in there, but didn't even know,
hmm,
why he was screaming.
Hmm.
And his body seemed to be, parts of it reinforced, not with what we call steel now.
Hmm.
It was completely different.
Yes.
And they had taken away everything. They had turned him into a slave.
Right.
They took away his feeling of loving. His mind was gone,
right,
of caring, of being a human being.
Yes.
And I remember asking, you know, Michael, what about his soul? And Michael said, his soul is there. And Michael moved his soul within his body. He said, that is one thing mankind or science or technology can never take away.
Cannot completely remove.
Remove,
no,
from,
no,
a human being is,
no,
their soul. But they had locked away his mind. They had actually stripped.
Yeah. And
somehow
technology was, yes,
everything of you that you didn't know you had a son, or you didn't know the feeling of love or,
right,
emotion, or,
right,
imagine all that being gone.
Yes.
They turned you into a machine.
Okay. I mean, there is a movement now which I find myself deeply repelled by, which is called transhumanism, where they're seeking,
mm-hmm,
to make human beings immortal in some way using technology, and it seems to me a very dark path to take, and maybe that future you were seeing was a kind of what would happen if we went down that road, you know, to use science and technology and genetic,
yeah,
engineering to so perfect the human being that we almost lose sight of the spirit within us.
Well, the one thing about that young man, the angel Michael said to me, "Well, what do you remember when he walked into the room?" Because I said,
mm,
why would man do this,
mm,
to another human being?
Yeah.
And I said, well, when he walked in, he was perfectly healthy.
Yeah.
He was intelligent.
Yeah.
Everything, his genetics, everything was perfect about him.
Yeah.
That's why they chose his family.
Right. Because he was perfect.
Yes, and because he was bright and intelligent.
Right. Right.
So it's not good to be bright and intelligent.
No, it's a danger.
It's a danger.
It's a risk.
It's a danger to have a healthy, strong body.
Yeah.
To have less defects.
Mm-hmm.
And that was horrific. They didn't do it to improve what you were saying there, mankind, to give someone a new limb, which I think is brilliant.
No, that's fine. No,
yeah,
no.
It wasn't for
I
that.
I suppose what I'm touching on is the idea, there is this idea in science that somehow within these bodies we can be made immortal, and I feel there's something wrong with that idea.
Because
that's putting the body ahead of the soul and ahead of the spirit, and we are fundamentally, I believe, spirit. That's what...
They can't actually do that. Yeah. I know they can't. They may do that in the future to some families.
Yes.
Like his family was chosen for that reason. I know on the radio I had heard a thing in the news, and I just laughed at the Angel Michael, and I said, is that another one of those signs of that kind of thing happening?
Yeah.
And that was that DNA was being collected
from,
if you'd done a crime or you were brought in,
they collect your DNA,
your DNA, and that DNA can be there in 100 years' time. And if they go back and check that DNA and say, that family, trace that family, that's how they would find who would be suitable.
Yes, it's a rather scary.
It's scary.
Rather scary prospect. So it's in process now, in a way. But at the same time, you feel there's hope, and you feel we don't have to go down that road.
We don't have to. And that's why I always say for people to stand up and be counted, to do with technology and to do with science. The ordinary person on the road, on the street, to say no.
Yeah.
And that's why it's very important for people to vote as well, or to sign a petition.
Yeah.
We have to protect ourselves from ourselves.
Yes, yes, yeah.
You know, in that
indeed.
Way.
Indeed.
Because science is brilliant, and so is technology.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it can't. We have to make sure we don't allow it to overstep some boundaries.
We
have to keep our human side,
which is the spirit, which is the soul within us. This may be an unfair question, but you've met my wife and partner in life, Santha.
Yes, and she's beautiful.
Many times. And I feel that my encounter with Santha more than 22 years ago now was a turning point in my life, and that she in a way saved my life. I almost think of her as my guardian angel. What do you see around Santha?
Well, I know she got into a bit of a turmoil recently, but she's actually fine. She's actually coming out of it, and her guardian angel is helping her, and she's becoming brighter. Even looking across there at her now, you know.
Yeah.
And I would always say to like, sometimes young people ask me, can they play with Ouija boards and do all those kind of things?
Yeah.
You shouldn't.
Yeah, shouldn't mess with the...
You should not mess.
Yeah, yeah.
You shouldn't, because you're giving the opportunity to the dark side for you to be possessed. And you could be possessed as a young person.
Yes.
And that possession stay in you.
Yes.
And you could, nobody notice, because you don't even notice yourself, but at a certain stage in your life, then you become that person they want you to become.
Right, right. Right, but again, we always have the choice.
You always have the choice.
Even though it may be difficult, even though it may be obscured from us, we always have.
You have the choice, and God, God will not overstep those boundaries.
Yeah.
You know.
And there are. We can seek out not only in the spiritual realm, but we can seek out other people. You know, who shine with light, and some who do not. Again, that's a choice.
Yeah. That's a choice as well.
Yeah.
You know, I always say to everybody, you know, if you can do something good today, whether it is hug your child, you know, whether it is, you know, open a door for someone or give a smile, you're bringing the light of hope. Every such action, light of hope into the world. And I know, since I started to write, people of all religions now, it's not, you know, or even of none, and especially young men, don't know why young men more so than the young women, are saying that they have become so conscious of that.
I'm aware of that too. The younger generation, there's a huge awakening going on.
They are
all over the world.
Like anything, you know, and that is so important because they're the future.
They're the future. Yeah.
They're the ones we want not to respond to the dark side.
Yes.
They're the ones we want to respond to the light, to God, to the good.
Yeah.
For all those beautiful futures I have seen, there are so many of those good futures.
Right.
And they coming together, earth becomes like a glimpse of heaven. That's the only way I can. And it is incredible. You know, science thinks that they're discovering all that they need to discover. There is so much. It is incredible.
Yes.
Like, you know, it's beyond their comprehension completely.
That's a beautiful thought and a beautiful prospect. And for you, a very realistic prospect. It's something that we can work towards.
We can work towards.
I mean, when we look back on human history, we've come out of darkness. There's been so much that has gone into the making of the modern world, has been cruel, deeply unkind, calculating, greedy.
Yeah.
The whole story of the Spanish conquest that I've written about in War God is motivated by greed and the lust for power, and then it shapes subsequent events. People watch what happened there, and they go off and do the same thing in Peru. And then the whole epoch of colonialism and slavery and everything that followed from that, the hatred, the fear, the suspicion, the division amongst humanity. So we've got to overcome this heritage.
We have, but you have to remember, even during that time, people were standing up, as you
people
said.
People stood up for the good.
For the good.
That's absolutely
know,
right.
And that's very important to remember. That's why, you know, even for people to read your book now, you know, the War God, to help to open them up.
That's what I hope it will do. That's actually why I've written it. Sometimes I find it very difficult to write about the dark and wicked things that people have done to each other, and my instinct is to pull away from it, but I feel a responsibility to do that, and to show that it's there and that it does happen, and that then our responsibility is to choose not to do that, is to consciously choose not to do that. And I've tried to show that in that setting there were people who made that choice, even at great risk to themselves.
You're doing what you're meant to be doing.
Thank you.
You know, and, you know, even though, you know, they're fictional, but they're true as well. And it is to waken people up and say, how could people have done those horrible things? Are we now doing those horrible things?
Yes.
And we are
We
are. Mm. But we're actually trying to stop it.
Yes.
But we're not doing enough.
Yeah. But it's this awakening of young people that this is where the great hope for me lies.
And there is great hope.
These bright and lively young minds, so much goodness, so much goodwill, so much decency in the world. I see it enormously in the younger generation. And the one great thing, I suppose, with the internet is that we have this global communication, that we're beginning to realize that we're all one family, that we're not this country or that race or that religion, but we're all one family.
That is right, and that is one of the futures I have been shown, is that we become one race.
Yes.
You know, it is one, even to me now, it is one country.
Indeed, yes.
You know, I don't split anything.
No.
In,
no.
And it doesn't matter what religion you are or whether you believe or not. You know, we are all brothers and sisters, and we need to reach out and help each other, because we need each other.
We so much need each other.
Definitely need each other in a huge amount.
Yes.
You know, and we can't give up on each other.
No.
We can't say, just because, you know, that's over in that country and I'm here and I'm cozy and I'm fine, so I do nothing about it.
Yeah.
You have to.
We're all responsible.
What are the children of the future going to say? Why did you do nothing?
Why did you stand by and do nothing?
Do nothing.
And so that's our responsibility, is not to stand by and do nothing, but to be actively involved, to make active choices for the good, for the light, and to build this community of hope.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good point to end our conversation.
Okay.
It's
a wave.
Absolute delight to.
It was lovely talking with you.
And
there was loads more I would have loved to have talked about, but another day.
Another
time.
Another day. I'll look forward to the next time we have a chance to chat.
Thank you.
Thank you.